Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome everyone. Great to have you with us. And just a note to Sean, I can't hear the station, so I think my guess to start the show is pretty good. Can you hear me, Sean?
I can hear you perfect.
Okay, good. All right, because I could not hear the open to the show. So, all right, good. That's a good thing. And it's a good. There we go. I hear lots of stuff now. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. I don't care if it's commercial, business, personal, whatever type of insurance you need, they give you the best price and the right insurance. And you want an insurance agent that really is in sync with you. That's Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hubbell's Wharf. Chris Spielman on the show today from Fox. Just made the move from ESPN to Fox. I think he's one of the best analysts in college football, period. I thought he and Sean McDonough were a dynamic duo together. Sean McDonough, of course, is going to move on to Monday Night Football with John Gruden. But Chris Spielman, outstanding pairing, and we'll have him on the show today. Tomorrow, John Solomon from CBS Sports is going to join us, the college football writer. And also tomorrow, Alan Bestwick, who will be the anchor for the Indianapolis 500 on ESPN. I mean, he will be the play-by-play guy. And we will have him on the show tomorrow at 4:06, I believe, correct?
You are correct, yes.
So a great get there. And Doug Gottlieb on Thursday from CBS. Am I missing anyone?
I think we covered it. We're good.
Well, I just want to make sure. We don't have a show Wednesday and no show on Friday because of the Phillies. Right?
Yep, they wrap up their three-game set with Detroit Wednesday afternoon, then head to Wrigley for the holiday weekend.
And they got the Cubs at 2:20, on, which is a 1:45 airtime on Friday. So, now, Sean was complaining and saying, look, you know, I need a four-day weekend. Well, okay, we just handed it to you on a silver platter. There you go. There's your four-day weekend. Tom Brady back in the news. I know you're shocked. I will say this. He has really good attorneys. I mean, did you see who his attorney is? Ted Olson, the former Solicitor General of the United States. That's his attorney. It makes you feel like he's got a shot. Now, as of right now, his suspension would be waylaid for the moment until they make a decision on the appeal. This was, by the way, the last day he could appeal. And he did. And what's interesting about this is that there is no return from this. Both sides are so dug in that no matter what, it's going to keep going because both sides are dug in. I will freely admit, the day after the Patriots killed and crushed the Colts, and this came up, I think it was Bob Kravitz from the Indianapolis Star brought this up, and I was like, oh, who cares? So what? I mean, seriously, I was like, eh, big deal. And then suddenly on Tuesday after the game, it's a really big deal. I mean, I thought it was a, you know, so what, whatever, you know, underinflated ball, and, you know. And I think that the you're now at a point where both sides are so dug in, there is absolutely no compromise at all. And as absurd as I think the entire episode is, it is going to continue right to the end. And I don't know where the end is. I don't know what court it ends in. This is, I've seen a lot of absurd things in sports. To their credit, this is one of the more absurd ones.
Oh, and it's moving all the way up to the Second Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals. It's all the about it, the amount of air that's in a football.
I mean,
and we're pushing 2 years here. That's the
yeah,
other thing.
I know.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I will say this. It has been terrific. The talk show stuff. I mean, it certainly has given us plenty to talk about. But I just don't. The right thing to do is to bypass it and move on. That's the right thing to do. But nobody wants to do the right thing. All they want to do is now win. This is now about winning and losing, in my opinion. It is about winning. And it's not about common sense anymore. I think that that's the part that bothers me. I do not like I don't like when it comes to finding out the truth about winning and losing. I don't like that. I can't stomach that concept where the key is to win. It isn't to do the right thing. Now, I know my good friend Bob Buhner, who's been on the show many, many times, former district attorney, and, you know, I mean, one of the keys for him is that you're not going to, you know, you really don't want to take cases you don't think you can win. In other words, I need enough evidence to try and win this thing. I can't do it on something that's flimsy. And Bob's talked about that on the show before. But, you know, when it gets to lawsuits or something like this, this is a, if it's Tony Romo, Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck on the other side, this is potentially no more than a $25,000 fine. Because it's the Patriots, I think there's exponentially more pressure on Roger Goodell from other owners to take a stand. And I think that's why you're seeing this being as stubborn as it is. The second half of that game, the footballs were inflated and so forth, after being, you know, after being checked at halftime, after they were diligently checked in the pregame. Sorry, I don't believe it. I'm sorry. I still maintain that one of the issues in this thing is that the officials were not as diligent as they should have been going into this game, and that bothers me. I don't like saying it. It's my gut feeling. that I think that they goes, oh, yeah, it's all good, fine. They may have tested a couple, move on, okay, fine. And then they handle the ball on every play. And for some reason, that has been, I think part of this has been to protect them. But I also think part of it has been they think the Patriots have done it things so many times, or they've been alleged to doing things so many times, that this time other owners were demanding that something be done this time. Well, they fined them $1 million. They took away a first-round pick this year. They got a fourth-round pick next year. The part that I don't understand is how personal it is about Brady. Chris Spielman today. We'll talk with him. Get a linebacker's perspective. And also about, look, it's not official that Fox has the Big Ten yet. It is not official. It certainly does seem like there's a heavy lean that they're going to get part of the package, and a big part of it. We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Pirates are winning today, but it's been a game with bizarre happenings in it. They lead 6-2 in the top of the eighth inning over Colorado. The Pirates had the option, by the way, this game was stopped in the first inning because of rain. By playing today, that means the Pirates are going to be in a streak of 31 consecutive days playing. And according to the contract agreement, the basic agreement, you can't play more than 24 days in a row if you're in this situation, unless the players say, yeah, they'll do it. The players say, yeah, we'll play today. Well, they play today, and they're leading over Colorado 6-2. But in the game, Ryan Vogelsong, the starting pitcher for the Pirates, was hitting with an 0-2 count. Fastball rode in, hit him in the face in the second inning. And so he had to leave. And he was on the ground for a long time. And Vogelsong got hit in the face with a pitch. Then home plate umpire Jeff Nelson in the third inning got dirt in his eye. And they worked on it. Then they sent him back to the clubhouse, and finally they had to switch, and Bob May became the home plate umpire, and Nelson went out to the bases. So they've had two long delays in this game for, you know, Vogelsong being hit in the face by a pitch, and then the home plate umpire, Jeff Nelson, an inning later having to leave because of dirt in his eye. Pirates still lead at 6-2, and that is in the top of the eighth inning at PNC Park. Rory McIlroy may ski, and they say that could deliver a huge blow to golf returning to the Olympics. If you notice in the NBC commercials, every single one of them about promoting the Rio Olympics has at least one or two golfers in it. The two they keep showing are Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler. Jason Day doesn't want to play. McIlroy doesn't want to play. Adam Scott says he doesn't want to play. Charles Schwartzel is not going to play. Mark Leishman's not going to play. And his biggest concern is Zika. And I'll tell you right now, now, I played a little bit of golf this morning. You're playing an outdoor sport where there's water on the course. And what's your biggest concern in terms of, like, ancillary stuff? Your biggest concern is mosquitoes. And he might not go. Now, we might get an answer at the U.S. Open, and we'll be doing our show down at the U.S. Open in Oakmont next month. But if he decides not to go, that is another blow for golf in the Olympics.
And then you had the story that came out over the weekend. Three members of Spain's Olympic sailing team, they have been down in Rio training. They were robbed at gunpoint in a popular tourist area of Rio. Sailors of the Narca 17 catamaran class. They were in a picturesque part of Rio, favorite for foreign visitors. They were confronted by five people with two pistols. So, wow. Not a good look.
No, this is bad. This is bad.
There's some parts of Rio that are kind of considered off limits to most tourists, where a lot of the where all the drug gangs do their thing.
You think?
They took all their work equipment that they were carrying at the time.
Wow.
So yeah, Zika, pollution, floating garbage. Take your pick.
I mean, this is... I admire the fact they want to bring it to South America. You know, I think that at some point you need to bring it to Africa. If you're gonna do this. I mean, everyone knows how I feel about it. I've said repeatedly, you know, pick a site, build it, maintain it, and stop fleecing people out of money. Okay? I mean, people are going to watch the Olympics no matter what. You know, but to bring it around the world is, while an interesting concept, it takes the financial burden completely off the IOC. It does lead to corruption and so forth. And while I admire that in the let's move it around the world situation, to bring it to South America for the first time is great. If you're going to keep moving it around the world, at some point you've got to bring it to Africa. Right, next half hour, more on this. Your calls at 1-800-795-9565. Chris Spielman today on the show from Fox Sports. Coming at CBS Sports, John Solomon tomorrow. Alan Bestwick tomorrow from ABC Sports. And coming up on Thursday, Doug Gottlieb. We're also working on getting Ryan Snyder on recruiting from this past weekend from Blue White Illustrated.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Purdy's has served this valley for decades. Commercial, business insurance, personal insurance, whatever you need. They're going to get the right insurance at the best price. That's Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Look, you always want to go with a group you trust in anything. Purdy Insurance is exactly that. All right. Time now for this day in sports history. Chris Spielman next half hour. Then tomorrow, John Solomon, CBS Sports, Alan Bestwick, the voice of the Indianapolis 500. And on Thursday, Doug Gottlieb. We're also working on Ryan Snyder for this week on this past weekend's recruiting. It's a big recruiting weekend here. We'll get to that. 1876, Boston's Joe Borden, this is the Boston Braves, pitched the first no-hitter in the history of the National League. Harry Greb, in 1922, beat Gene Tunney. It was the only time in Tunney's professional career in boxing that he lost. 1926, Hack Wilson became the first player to hit a home run off the Wrigley Field scoreboard. He was then accused of PEDs. No, I'm just kidding. 1948, Joe DiMaggio hit three consecutive home runs. 1962, the NBA agreed to transfer the Philadelphia Warriors to San Francisco, where they became the San Francisco Warriors, then later the Golden State Warriors. And Wilt Chamberlain went with them. He actually played in San Francisco, then was dealt back to Philadelphia. 1963, NBC purchased the 1963 AFL Championship game rights for $926,000. Now $926,000 doesn't get you 20 seconds in a Super Bowl. 1978, the American League approved the transfer of the Red Sox to Gene Yawkey for $15 million. Her husband, Tom, had owned the team. And that is this day in sports history. We're going to be talking in a moment with Chris Spielman. Well, you know what, half hour? That sound right?
You bet, 4:06.
4:06 today, Chris Spielman from Fox. I mean, coaches, quarterbacks, and linebackers make the best analysts. You're like, oh, you say that because of Jack. I think it's the positioning on the field. Quarterback, for obvious reasons, and everything they have to know and everything they have to see and they read and so forth. Linebackers are the same thing. I mean, they're the one position on the field that has to play both the run and the pass consistently. And in a stand-up spot, they can see what the offense is doing. And I think that, that pays off as an analyst and, of course, coaches for obvious reasons. And Chris was a darn good linebacker in his own right.
Well, it was really good a couple of years ago when ESPN went to that megacast format for the national championship game. They would put Chris was at a table with like five or six other coaches and one of the ESPN anchors, and they were just in front of a big screen just watching the game. They were just analytically breaking down the game play by play. It was just a really great angle that you really didn't get before for a, you know, for any game that ESPN's ever broadcast. Now it's that's a done deal every year with their megacast coverage. That was really cool. And what's great with Chris, it wasn't coach speak. I mean, you could follow exactly what he was talking about, and you could kind of get a feel as to what was coming up next on a scoring drive.
That's what I like about him. I like the fact that he's able to relate to, I think, the fan in plain English as to what's going on. Yeah, he's just a good guy. He's been through a lot. I think people know about, obviously, his wife. And his wife, Stephanie, of course, had four bouts with breast cancer. And she passed away. Oh boy! I want to say six or seven years ago. And after she got for the fifth time, he's since remarried, by the way. So, but we'll have him on the show to talk about college football in general. And, you know, he just makes accurate observations. I mean, that's just what I like about him. He doesn't mess around, doesn't have cute catchphrases or anything like that. He just tells you what's going on. That's what I like in any analyst. I'm not into bang, pow, and boom or aircraft carriers. So he will be coming up in the next half hour. And we'll keep everybody up to date on what's going on. The Pirates, of course, were playing. And Ryan Vogelsong had to be taken out of the game. He got hit in the face with a pitch. It was not a case where a ball was hit back through the box and he got hit. No. He was batting and got hit by the pitch. It was an 0-2 pitch, too. It was a 92-mile-per-hour fastball. Got him just underneath the open area in the helmet. So that got him, and so he's in trouble and had to be taken to the hospital. And then the umpire had to go out with dirt in his eye. Other than that, it's been pretty smooth. Yeah. The Penguins lost last night in overtime. And I don't know what they're going to do now for Game 6. I don't know if they go back to Matt Murray, if they stick with Marc-Andre Fleury. I don't know. Fleury did not look that great last night. And they had a 2-0 lead, and they lost. And that is, that'll be tomorrow night. Tonight it's San Jose and St. Louis. St. Louis is going to stick with Jake Allen. Why not? He pitched a shutout. I think he pitched a shutout. It was either 5-1 or 5-0 against San Jose, at San Jose, no less. And did you see the Draymond Green play, the kick?
Yeah, the great debate. Will he be playing tomorrow night or out?
And he says that it was not deliberate.
Yeah, there's pretty much been even 50-50 talk. The Draymond Green kick and the LeBron James flop. Take your pick.
Well, too many guys flop in this game. And the NBA has tried to solve flopping by fining. College basketball can't do that. They cannot fine players for flopping. And it's obvious. You sit there and go, really? Okay? You look like you were felled like a redwood on that hit? Really? Now the question is, did Green, he kicked Steven Adams. He says it wasn't intentional. And now it's up to the NBA to decide what to do with it. And Oklahoma City destroyed Golden State last night. I mean, destroyed them. I mean, that wasn't even competitive. So the playoffs have brought some drama to them. I mean, I can't explain why Cleveland looked so bad the other night. I can't explain it. Toronto was completely uncompetitive with them for two games. Okay, so you're uncompetitive for two games. Then all of a sudden you get home and you're competitive? And I think part of that had to do with the fact that I think Cleveland was bored. I really think so. I think they're just sitting there going, like, really? No, I don't want to do this. You know, I thought they had it. Still say they're going to win in five games. But that's just me. I mean, I said they were going to sweep, so now I'm revising it to five because I have to.
One game at a time.
revise it, so I have. Oh, well. And the Penguins, I can't explain. I don't understand. Now I'll say this. I thought the Penguins defensively, they're shorthanded right now. Daly's injury is a big one. They've got their defensive guys are logging a ton of minutes.
Chris Letang was pushing 30 minutes on the ice last night. It showed.
And I thought he had an okay game, not a good game. And I don't mean it just all night long. I just felt he played okay. Not poorly, but okay. You know, I felt like Malkin played a great game last night, even though he didn't score. I thought he played a great game. I thought Crosby played decently. But, you know, they did a lot of things well. They just didn't win the game. And I got to give Tampa Bay credit. You know, Tampa Bay carried most of the first period. I mean, that was mostly their baby. The way they went after that. And so now they got to play game six. You know how I always mock the, you know, it's a must win. Well, this is a must win. No, if you don't win, it's done. I always love it here. Really, it essentially is a must win tonight. When there's like, it's like game three. You're like, no.
I am surprised that Mike Sullivan decided to pull the trigger and go with Marc-Andre Fleury when he made that announcement after the morning skate yesterday. I mean, it was great that Fleury got some ice time on Friday night, and he skated he was in goal for the third period when Pittsburgh was down 4-0, but he was still rather rusty here and there last night. Well, to be expected.
Well, not only that, but here's the concern I would have. He hasn't played since March 31st. Guess what the biggest concern I would have would be? Fatigue. And when did he give up the goals? He gave up goals late. He gave up a goal late in the third period, and then he gave a goal in overtime. You know, and he hasn't gone that long in a game in 7 weeks.
Key last night, there was only like two dozen shot attempts and giving up four. That's red
flag.
Not
good.
No.
No, that's not good at all.
Now, despite the overtime goal off of Kennedy's upper body and went in, I mean, there's probably nothing he couldn't do much about that, but.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, yeah, I'm looking at the green play now. Kind of an odd play. I hadn't seen the play until just now. So, in other words, he's driving in for a shot, and he kind of pulls a Kobe and kicks his leg out as he takes the shot. And Adams is like, yo, man. Wow. That's interesting. It's different. Wow. Let's see from the top angle. Yeah. So he puts the shot up. He gets stripped of it, and then he kicks the leg out. Yay. I'd suspend him for a game. I really would. I'd suspend him for a game. Because, I mean, it's not what he did is would not be considered to be germane to the play. How about that? That's why I would suspend him for a game, because you don't go up. Normally, you don't go up, get stripped of the ball like he was, and then kick your leg out. I mean, it's not a normal practice. So I just saw it just now for the first time. I hadn't had a chance to see it till now, and I'd suspend him for a game. All right, we will take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ensuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Have the best record in the American League. The Cubs, the best record in baseball. Phillies have the Tigers next. The Phillies are at 25-19. They have the fifth best record in the National League. And not the ninth best record in baseball. Right? Tied for the 8th best record in baseball. Tied with the Texas Rangers. With Cole Hamels, no less. The Phillies will have the Tigers coming up next. But the Orioles have the best record in the American League. Right now they're 5 percentage points up on the Red Sox. Each team is 10 games over 500. The White Sox have the fourth best record. The other team playing over 600, the Mariners. I mean, the Mariners are at 26-17. I mean, they're playing great. And the White Sox, who have hit a little bit of a tailspin, but they're 2.5 up on the Indians. The Nationals are a game and a half up on the Mets. And the Phillies are 2 back. The Marlins are 4.5 back. You were talking about a division where 4 of the 5 teams are over 500. The Cubs lead the Pirates by 5.5. Pirates did win today 6-3. And the Giants have won 9 of their last 10. They're the only team in the West over 500. They have a 4.5 game lead on the Dodgers. Dodgers have all that money. Yet the Phillies have a record that's 3 games better. Wow. Great to have, by the way, Scott Fransky on the show Friday. He was terrific. Tomorrow, John Solomon, college football writer for CBS.com, is going to join us. Alan Bestwick from ABC Sports. He will be the play-by-play call of the Indianapolis 500. He joins us tomorrow. You may recognize the voice if you watch the Tax Slayer Bowl, because Alan did the Tax Slayer Bowl when Penn State played Georgia. We'll have him tomorrow. Doug Gottlieb on Thursday. And also, we are working on getting Ryan Snyder from Blue White Illustrated to wrap up the recruiting weekend here at Penn State. Now, Ryan did get married on Saturday. So I said on Friday, I sent him a congrats text. And he said, hey, by the way, Steve, we're not going on our honeymoon for 2 weeks, so if you want me to be on the show next week, I can.
Like you're going to say, oh, by the way, I'm just going to be poolside, no big deal, with an umbrella inside drink. I can still talk recruiting.
I only said to him, hey, congrats, she's great, you're great, best of luck. I mean, that's all I sent him, just so you know, because Ryan is a great guy. And he sent me back the text, hey, that means a lot. You know, he said a lot of nice things in there. And then he said, hey, by the way, we're not going on our honeymoon for 2 weeks. I thought, well, what the heck, we can take advantage of that, can't we? Why not? So we got we'll take advantage of that.
And even though no show on Wednesday and Friday, we got a few things we're going to start working on, too, for next week.
Well, good. I like that. And Coaches versus Cancer golf tournaments next week, too. And so is the Special Olympics here next week. Chris Spielman, next half hour, we'll talk with him. Get his view on college football. And what's turned the Big Ten around? Second week of the 2014 season, the Big Ten as a college football conference was considered to be DOA. And all of a sudden, as a football power, they've resurrected themselves and they're in the conversation with the SEC. We'll talk to Chris Spielman about what he has seen and why next half hour.